Hello and welcome to the Pop Papa Napcast episode number 39. I'm your host, TJ Deitch. I, of course, run the website poppapa.com, which hosts this very podcast. And I am going to just jump right in. I've actually got a subject for this whole episode that I think will fill out the usual half hour, and I am interested in talking about it and maybe even getting some feedback from you listeners on the site that we can kind of roll into next week's episode. The topic this week is gender and how we kind of are given various ideas based on societal norms as to who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do based on our gender. Now, these are old ideas that go way back, and I think they are being eroded away by a lot of people. I personally have very different views of, you know, masculine and feminine and who's supposed to do what, because when I was growing up, my dad actually passed away when I was 2 years old, and so I was just with my mom for a little while, and she eventually started dating the guy that I now call my dad. But for a while, there was just the two of us, and so she was kind of everything. And so based on her being, you know, such a strong person, just being who she is, and then various other kind of people in my life and pop culture ideas, I feel like I've gotten kind of a different idea of what, you know, men and women are supposed to do. In that, I don't actually think that one is supposed to do one thing and one is supposed to do another, aside from childbirth, which is something that only women can do. You know, some of the pop culture things that I have mentioned on Twitter and various places that also kind of helped reinforce this idea is like Marion Ravenwood in the Indiana Jones movies. I was a huge fan of those and just saw them on TV all the time. She's just such a, like, cool, strong woman. She does so much. And then reading Lois Lane in the comics. I've been reading since about 1992, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find many occasions between then and, let's say, 5 years ago when I really kind of stopped reading comics on a regular basis in which Lois Lane isn't, like, a really awesome character to watch. Well-balanced, emotionally complicated, you know, has a lot going on. So those are just a couple of the things that, just to give you an idea of, like, where I'm coming from. And then, you know, from knowing my wife when we were dating and now, even the things that were kind of in my mind that I didn't even realize have really been kind of flipped and turned around. As you probably know, if you've listened to the episode before or you know us, she, you know, is out in the workforce doing a regular 9-to-5 job while I stay home and watch our kid. And I still do some freelance writing on my own to help bring money in. But for the most part, she's the main breadwinner. She's the one that goes out 9-to-5. So even that is, like, flipped. And I'll admit, when she got her first job in New York and I was working at Wizard, immediately she started making more money than I did. And I was a little bit like, oh, that's weird. And part of it was probably man-woman stuff that I got over pretty quickly. The other part is that, like, she was an intern or whatever, and I was a staffer at a fairly major magazine, and I just was not getting paid very much. But that was more a fault of that company than anything else. So maybe I'm a little bit more open-minded, or maybe I don't have the kind of stereotypes ingrained in me as much. But, I mean, just being in the world, you hear them, you see them, and sometimes they kind of worm their way into your brain, whether you want them to or not. And so I kind of try to examine my thoughts and ideas and see if they make sense. And if they don't, then maybe I flip them around a little bit, because I think it's important to keep an open mind about everything. Back in October, there was the big New York Comic Convention on the East Coast down in the city. And I went to it and I worked and I did a bunch of stuff and I actually had a great time and I came back. I talked about it on an episode, but in the wake of that, there was actually a lot of commentary from women and men about how poorly some of the male fans treated some of the female fans and even non-fans. There was one report of a TV crew that somehow, like, faked their way into getting a press pass and then were going around asking women and girls in costume inappropriate questions, which there's no excuse for any of that. In kind of watching that discussion take place online, both on the website I work for, CBR, and other places, plus Twitter in general, I don't remember exactly who said it, but a female comics professional on Twitter was commenting on a male professional's response to this craziness, because he said something along the lines of, now that I have a daughter, it really kind of made me realize what was going on. And she attacked this as in, you know, why would you need that perspective to understand that something bad is going on? And I just kind of want to talk to what he said a little bit, because when you're ingrained societally, whatever, in a certain kind of position, I think it's difficult to look around outside that position sometimes. I mean, I am a white, middle-class guy who grew up in a great home, and I had a lot of things provided for me. So it was really hard for me to finally kind of look outside myself and what I can do to see that it's not necessarily set up the same way for everybody as it is for me. I mean, a guy my age in, you know, the inner city, in a worse neighborhood, with a worse family situation, is not going to have the same opportunities than I am, at least without putting in even more effort than I did. It's just how it works out. And if you can't see that, then you're probably not really paying attention or don't really want to know that it happened. Sure, every now and then some people will kind of jump up the socioeconomic ladder and kind of move around and maybe bring some of their friends up with them. But I mean, let's be honest, that's not the norm. So sometimes it can take a while or certain big events to make you look at how things are set up and examine them more closely. And I think in the case of the male comic creator professional's statement, that's how it is. I believe he was a white male as well. I don't know age or whatever, but unfortunately, we don't always see every bad thing that's going on, and so sometimes it takes a certain refocusing. When we knew that we were having a daughter, I was very adamant in my brain about not treating her any different because she was a girl, of, you know, exposing her to all of the cool things I would expose a boy to, like Star Wars or comic books or cartoons that I liked as a kid, all these things, while still hoping that I would keep an open mind about the things that she would kind of naturally gravitate to. And I think I've done a pretty good job of that. She loves, you know, Super Mario Brothers Super Show on Netflix as much as she loves Tinkerbell and princesses and Mickey Mouse, all of these things. She kind of likes football, though she's kind of getting bored with it, I think. And I mean, I just threw out, you know, obvious boy examples because those are the ones that most easily come to mind. But my goal is to try and raise a strong, independent girl who turns into a woman who will hopefully not feel the need to fit into roles that society has deemed for her unless she wants to do that. So that, you know, that was kind of on my mind. And then I've actually seen a lot of videos and posts lately that have me kind of thinking about this even more. Last week, my wife sent me a TED Talk from 2012 with a guy named Colin Stokes talking. And he was talking about he's got a daughter and a son. The son's younger. And he showed his daughter, when I think she got to be about 4, Star Wars. But before that, she was a huge fan of Wizard of Oz. And so these were the two kind of movies he was looking at. And he pointed out something that I thought was really interesting, in that not only does Wizard of Oz have a strong female protagonist who is the star and the lead and the driving force in Dorothy, but it also has a mission that's not necessarily violent. Yeah, she accidentally kills the witch in the beginning and gets, you know, kind of her magic powers. And then she goes on this journey and makes friends. And that's the key to, you know, his point is that Dorothy succeeds by being a nice person who's inclusive and doesn't necessarily need violence to get what she wants. Whereas in Star Wars, you know, the first one, A New Hope, that's pretty much what it is. It's a boy finds out that he's part of something bigger. He has special powers. He meets up with some fairly analogous characters, as they point out in the video, which, by the way, is on poppapa.com in the episode 39 show notes. You can see that and anything else I talk about on there. There's a few more videos and links that I'm going to reference, so you can head over there to see the whole thing, which will probably make all of my ramblings a little bit more clear. But the other thing about Star Wars that he pointed out was that there aren't a lot of female characters, which is true, although he did not mention Mon Mothma, I think that's her name, who is the head of the rebellion in, like, the second half of the movie when they're plotting the attack on the Death Star. But for the most part, he's right. I mean, it's Princess Leia who gets fairly objectified and becomes the trophy and the, you know, medal passer-outer and doesn't really have much agency in the finale. But then again, I mean, she does take kind of a tactical approach at the headquarters, but I understand the point. But aside from the kind of positive, non-violent story versus the more obviously violent story of Star Wars, his other point was that one of the things that we have to do in addition to teaching our daughters to be strong, independent women is that we have to teach our sons that women are not objects to be won. A woman isn't your goal as a thing or an object. A relationship can be your goal. That's a wholly different thing. But we need to teach boys that girls are not prizes, that they are people. There's to be valued as much as boys. There should not even be kind of a difference there, all this kind of stuff. And I thought he really nailed it. In the talk, he also talked about some of the Pixar movies and pointed out that, you know, up until, you know, recently then, back in 2012, there hadn't been a female lead until Brave, which obviously is in line with what he wants to talk about in his talk. But there's still some violence there, but, you know, not the same level as Star Wars necessarily. But one thing that he didn't point out that I thought was interesting that I noticed after watching Finding Nemo with Lucy last week is that even though Finding Nemo has two male leads in it, I really think it's Dory, the Ellen DeGeneres character, who fuels that story. She's the one that remembers everything. She's the one that gets the whale and the turtles to come help them. Marlin's there, the dad Marlin is there to have the goal. But Dory's the one that gets him there, the one that makes it happen. Meanwhile, Nemo's in a tank with male and female sea creatures who are all trying to work together to help, which I thought was cool because even though the leader is male, everybody in that tank plays a part, male or female, it doesn't really seem to matter, and they get what they need to get done. But I did think it was interesting with these new gender-specific goggles on to look at Finding Nemo and see that, yeah, Marlin and Nemo might be the main stars that you think of, but it really is Dory that's making that mission get closer to completion, and it is closer in line with the Wizard of Oz story than the Star Wars story. They're on a journey. They're not fighting anybody. There are obstacles that they have to overcome, but they make friends, and making those friends helps get them to their goal. Same thing with Nemo's side. He's not fighting anybody. He's trapped. He's working with people, and he's trying to get out. And I think those stories of inclusion and cooperation are really important. Just to give kind of a balance. I mean, look, I love shoot 'em ups and action movies as much as anybody. But I know that they're entertainment, and I'm 30, and I've got a pretty good handle on, you know, male-female dynamics as far as I'm concerned. Kind of in the same subject, just because I saw it about a week before I watched that TED Talk, was a recent Tropes versus Women in Video Games episode called Miss Male Character. Now, this is a series put on by Feminist Frequency on YouTube. Again, I'll have this linked on my site. I saw it on themarysue.com, which is an awesome blog run by women that puts kind of a unique spin on geek news that I love reading. Anyway, I've heard of this series before. I just haven't watched them because I'm not really that into video games. I mean, I've been playing the same skateboarding video games for, like, years. And honestly, I've got both of my characters are women just because I figured I would make them that way. That was well before Lucy was even born, but I just thought that was interesting. Anyway, this episode about the Miss Male character I thought was really interesting. The topic basically covers how poorly women are represented in video games. And that when they are portrayed, they're basically defined by stereotypical characteristics of their femaleness. So while the Koopa kids, for example, all the boys have a different thing, like one's a magician and one's a something else. Like, they all have things that they're into, and that's kind of how you figure out who they are. The girl one is like a prissy, angry, hot-headed creature who is not very pleasant. Well, none of them are pleasant, but who really kind of goes off the handle. But all she, you know, she's got the giant bow, she's got the necklace, she's got the nails done. And the point kind of throughout the episode and what the host is talking about is that women are poorly represented, and it goes back to TV, movies, it's all these things. And it was just something I never really thought about. For one thing, like I mentioned, I don't play a lot of games. But when it comes to the games I have played, I'd say 99% of them all have male leads. A lot of the games I play are like superhero based, because that's kind of my thing, or like I said, skateboarding or football. And there really aren't female characters. Obviously, there's not in football, because there aren't women in the NFL. In the skateboarding game, you can create whoever you want. So I did. Like I said, I have women characters in Skate 3. It's just sad because there are plenty of women in video games who are involved in them, who love playing them, who have even done kind of what I've done with comics and toys and turned it into their career. If you're interested at all in video game news and reviews and talk, I highly recommend a podcast called Weekend Confirmed. You can find it on iTunes. And it's a... if you ever watched Totally Rad Show back in the day, that was one of the first podcasts I ever listened to. It inspired me to do this and a couple other failed attempts that I've made over the years. But one of the hosts on that show, Jeff Cannata, is on a audio podcast along with his fellow usual host, Garnet Lee. And then they have a rotating group of contributors who come on and talk about whatever games are coming out. And there's definitely females on there who give really good perspectives about kind of how they're looked at in the industry and as fans and all that stuff. And I think it's really good to kind of hear that extra perspective. They haven't talked about this specific thing, but it is interesting just how male-centric the video game community is. And I highly recommend checking out that video. Again, it's on the site if you want to look at it. All of this was kind of going on in my head when I made a simple trip over to Burger King for a quick lunch the other day. And, you know, we try not to give Lucy too much fast food because who knows what's in it. But every now and then, you know, she likes fries and nuggets, so we'll get that and have her try them out. And I realized while I was sitting in line that I was going to get her a Happy Meal, or I guess a kid's meal, they call them. And there, I was going to get asked, do you want a boy toy or a girl toy? And I thought, you know, it really stinks that we've got to genderize toys like this. Because my kid likes a lot of stuff that might be considered boy-y, and I'm sure boys like girl things. And when I'm sitting there, luckily they have a sign on the menu that says what they have, and it was like Matchbox cars and Polly Pocket. And my kid loves cars. She's got a whole box of my old cars that she plays with. And so I figured, what the heck, boy. So I got the car, and it's like this little bulldozer truck, and she loved it. But it's too bad that, you know, we've got to be so segregated like that. And I would strongly encourage, you know, fast food places to maybe kind of look at what's going on and hopefully get away from that a little bit. And all that kind of brings me into the last internet thing that I saw that got me thinking about gender. And that was a Movie Bob clip on The Escapist. Now, this is not anything I've ever heard of, but I saw it on the Mary Sue, which I mentioned earlier. And I figured I would give it a watch. And the title of the video was Pink is Not the Problem, and it's very fast, and I only was able to watch it once before recording, so I highly recommend checking it out. Again, poppapa.com, the episode 39 show notes, we'll have all this stuff. In 7 minutes, Movie Bob talked about a ton of stuff regarding the slow erosion of gender stereotypes by way of how toys are marketed towards children. Which breaks down into the pink aisle and maybe the blue aisle or the darker colored aisle. When you go to any toy store or Target or anything like that, you walk down the aisles past the toy section and you immediately know which one has all the Barbies because everything in that aisle is pink. I think I posted a video on a very early episode where a young lady recorded a video about how she understands that toy companies are painting things pink, and that means that girls are supposed to like it, but she likes a certain other kind of toy, and it stinks that they try and do that, and then that kids reinforce that by thinking that only certain toys can be played with by boys, and certain toys can be played with by girls. One of the interesting points that this new video made, though, was that you don't want to vilify pink toys necessarily, because they're just things, or stuff, as is it called in the video. the stuff or the thing is not good or bad in and of itself. It's the kind of intention behind it or the attention that you give it because of what it is. And if I'm remembering it correctly, and again, I highly encourage you to check out the video itself, one of the things that Movie Bob was saying is that it's important to let girls know that they don't just need to do pink things. But at the same time, you've got to let boys know that they can like pink things to really get rid of the gender stereotypes, which, again, are going to take forever to fully get rid of. You need to make everything okay. You can't say one thing is just bad because of how it's designed or how it's painted. But you've got to make everything kind of okay for everyone. And when I say that, I don't mean, like, morally or anything like that. I'm just talking about toys right now. So you don't want boys to think pink is bad because, in kind of a general way, in many cases, you know, kind of the feminine has been vilified in pop culture. And I hadn't even thought about this. It was a really interesting quick breakdown of what he was talking about. But even when the woman isn't a villain in a story, a lot of times, like in 300, as they point out in the clip, a man is coded as being a villain by being very feminine. And like he said, 300 is the example. Leonidas is the good guy. That's Gerard Butler, if you've seen the movie. He's a big, strong dude who's just manly and like yelling and cutting guys up with a sword. Whereas Xerxes, who's the bad guy, is kind of tall and like shimmery almost, and feminine and affectionate. And so even though a woman isn't being marked as a bad guy, a femininely designated character is, which is an interesting thing. But then it made me think about kind of the opposite of that, in that if we are trying to break down stereotypes, I think that all people can act all ways, regardless of sex or gender or whatever you want to call it. So to me, it makes sense if a male is feminine and a big, strong bad guy, because it shows that that kind of person can be a threat. But I also understand that there's a longstanding tradition of making the feminine evil, and that can be really sticky as far as showing girls as they grow up that they're not bad. You know, I'm not quite sure if I've parsed all of this all the way through. Like I said, I only listened to it once, but it is something that we kind of need to look out for. And it's something that, as kind of a potential writer, I like to think of myself as, I've been playing with when I come up with characters. Almost on default, I made everybody a male because I'm a male. And I figured that it just made sense. It wasn't even a thought, really. It was just male. Okay, let's go. Because I often put myself in the lead of my stories mentally, and then kind of like, how do I differ from my lead and how that would make them make different choices and that kind of stuff. But I realized kind of while writing and outlining and all this stuff and just kind of taking notes, like, well, why not make the main character female? And at the same time, you run into a similar problem of with the effeminate villain, you're putting female characteristics on a man, and that man is therefore bad. In the case of a lot of things, and this is also pointed out in the video, if you take male characteristics and put them on a woman, that is good or bad, depending on how you look at it. But at the same time, like, there's only so many kinds of characteristics, and I fully feel that gender does not indicate characteristics aside from what other people are telling you. You're kind of how you are, and then you're raised a certain way, and you react certain ways to certain things, and then that's the person you are. Sometimes that's a strong, powerful woman who maybe has what everybody would call male characteristics, and sometimes you're kind of a more weak-willed guy and people would call you effeminate. It's a complicated thing, so it kind of bugs me when people say, like, oh, that's just a woman with male characteristics or a male with female characteristics, because those people do exist, and that's a thing that happens. So I don't know. It's kind of a confusing thing for me to figure out. Maybe I shouldn't have gotten into it on the podcast, because I'm not sure how I'm explaining myself very well. But I think the best we can do as people who make fiction or try to make fiction, like me, can do is to just try your best to create well-rounded characters who do things that make sense, at least for them. So sometimes they're going to make mistakes, sometimes they're not. making a perfect character isn't very interesting at all, so there's not much point in doing it, whether it's male or female. So that's just something I've been kind of thinking of in that regard. And so, like I've said, all of these videos and articles have been kind of swirling around in my brain lately, and I kind of wanted to put them all out on the podcast and see what anybody else thought. I mean, obviously, people completely disagree with me and think that women are supposed to do one thing and men are supposed to do another thing, or are meant to do something. I completely do not believe in the idea of supposed to or meant to as far as human beings go. I think we're just here, we're who we are, and we kind of figure it out as we go and do our best to be who we are. And sometimes other people have a lot more influence on that, and sometimes people are strong enough to kind of be who they are out in the world, and that's certainly not easy. But that's where I'm coming from. And that's kind of what I hope for my daughter, that she can just be who she wants to be, whatever that means, as long as it's, a healthy situation for her. And that's kind of all I can really hope for. So I think that's a good place to kind of wrap up. Like I said, the TED Talk video, the women versus tropes in video games video, and the Movie Bob video are all going to be posted on the website in the Pop Papa Napcast episode 39 show notes. If you want to see more of me, head on over to United Monkey. That's MONKEE.com. That's where I do pop culture reviews. I got some movies, some, hopefully a couple records, some comics, stuff in the works this week. And I'm really excited about today. I'm going to start doing a series that might last 3 or 4 weeks of Toy Commercial Tuesdays featuring Ghostbusters characters, because I forgot how bonkers that toy line is. But anyway, I also run Monkeying Around the Kitchen, all spelled correctly, no spaces, .com, where I write about the food I make and the food I eat, and hopefully I will continue posting on there. I'm trying, but this is a very busy week. I actually just got a bunch of stuff in my lap on Friday that is great, because I was really slow there for a while, and this is picking things up, but there's some time constraints that I've really got to nail down. But some cool interviews and whatnot in the works, which I like. So I'll probably link to those on my Twitter account, which is at PapaDeitch. That's PopPadieTsch. All right, gang. Have a good one.